Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad you're with us today. We do this each weekday, 11 a.m. most days, the replay here on the Big X at 3 p.m. And, of course, you can catch the podcast as well on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. Also, let's take a look at the show today. The guest lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We've got some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Our segment with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg today, we're going to take a look at Romeo Langford, a couple items, NBA. Also, we talked some Rondale Moore last week. I think we're going to do that again this week as well. It also college football. I know we're getting closer to the season, and obviously we're talking more IU football and Big Ten football, so we'll do some of that with Greg today when he joins us. Our segment with Greg each week is always presented by Coffee Crossing. And then later in the program, in our final segment, again, joining us from IU football practice, another guest on the program today, it's Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike will be with us on the program today. So, again, lots of open football practices from Indiana. And I'm admittedly not a guy that follows all the happenings from fall camp across the Big Ten Conference or across the college football landscape. But I'm curious to ask Mike, does Indiana maybe have as many open fall camp practices and availabilities as any team out there? Because, again, Mondays, I know Zach Osterman, the last couple Mondays has been at football practice. We've had other guests on the program here recently that have been watching football practice as they join us here on the Hoosier Report. But definitely a lot of open opportunities. And I just read again a story about U of L football as they prepare for the season. And Coach Satterfield there has really tightened things down as far as media availability, open practices, things like that, which is something that's, I think, pretty standard that you see. So that they're maybe tighter than what Indiana is what I'm getting at. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk IU football. Jordan Geronimo, another name that I'm going to mention in the headlines segment again today. We're going to talk some about him with Mike Pegram. As far as the 2020 recruits go, with Leal and Galloway in the fold, Matt Cross is probably the one we've talked about next as far as out-of-state. Some about Caleb Love as well, but not a lot about Jordan Geronimo. Jeff Rabjohns gave us a rundown on him and kind of the riser that he was over the month of July when he was with us in, maybe a week or so ago. But we'll talk more with Mike Pegram about him later today because he's seen him up close and personal and has a good read on him. Again, he set an official visit recently for later this month at Indiana, which is the reason that we're kind of paying a little more attention to him, because obviously the recruitment there pretty serious both ways. If he's going to come in from up east in the Boston area, the Massachusetts area, and take a visit, an official visit to IU coming up later this month. And also, if he's getting his visits set now, and it looks like he's got, I think, at least three set right now, he's, you know, trying to work himself to a decision at some point forthcoming. So we'll talk some about Geronimo today in the headlines and later in the program with Mike Pegram when he is with us. So we'll do all that today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Boston Celtics released their full NBA schedule yesterday. I think that most, if not all, of the NBA teams released their schedule yesterday. And here are a couple interesting dates. I gave you the preseason games last week when they were released, which we think those preseason games, if all goes well, will likely be the first opportunity to see Romeo Langford in a Boston Celtics jersey. But the season schedule, the full season schedule, is now here. And here are a couple interesting dates. December 11th, that is a Wednesday, and March 10th, that is a Tuesday. That is the two dates this season for the 19-20 NBA season that Boston plays here in Indiana, in Indianapolis, at the Pacers. I can tell you that those tickets will be, as soon as they may even be for sale now, but there will be a lot of people making the trek from Southern Indiana, from New Albany, to Bankers Life Fieldhouse for Boston at Pacers on both of those dates. The December 11th game, obviously pretty early in the season. The March 10th game getting much later in the regular season. So the opportunity to see Romeo perhaps twice in Indianapolis, and you think about his professional season, his rookie season, which is coming up, and I know that everybody locally, whether you're a New Albany person or a Southern Indiana fan that followed Romeo, an IU fan, or a fan of another college, you want to see local people do well when they reach the professional level, obviously. But I'll tell you what, you think about December 11th, the Wednesday night, you think about March 10th, late in the season, I don't know what, a month or so, month and maybe just a month and a half away from playoffs. And Boston, obviously a team that, you know, is projected to be pretty good and to get in the playoffs. But you think about how the season could change for him from December 11th, the first opportunity to see him in Indianapolis, to the second opportunity and final opportunity that they'll play in March, early March. You know, that could be some good time from December to March for him to progress and find a real role on the Celtics team. And, of course, the flip side of that is if things don't go his way and maybe his shooting doesn't come back around with a healthy thumb, does Romeo get some time in the G League early on, or, you know, even into the middle part of the season? So it'll be interesting to see from a personal level when he makes two trips to Indiana to play and obviously has a big, big fan base there to support him, how his rookie season has unfolded between those two points, those two trips in Indiana. But I can assure you this much, a lot of people already making plans now that that schedule is out and official to check out Romeo Langford and the Boston Celtics when his name is called, whether it's for a starting position or whether it's coming off the bench or whether it's just getting some cleanup minutes early on that December 11th game. He will have a huge cheering block on his side when he makes whatever appearance he does for the Celtics on that date. Second headline today, a little high school football note. You know, we've had a lot of fun, and we're going to keep talking and previewing some of the upcoming high school football things. In fact, coming up, we've got some more replays of our interviews from Zaxby's last week on some of the open moments on our show as we talk with all the area head coaches. It was great to talk with them. It was great to hear from the players. There really are, you know, plenty of reasons to be excited about the season coming up, and always some fun games. And that first week is especially fun to see who really gets things going and if some of the big names we expect to be top performers can get things going and underway in that first week. But one of the things that I've said this year, and this has been, I think, maybe the last couple of years even, this has been a pretty standard look at the preseason. There is no ranked team in Clark and Floyd counties, at least as far as preseason rankings go. There is no program that you can look at Clark and Floyd counties and say they are a big favorite to win their sectional. They're a favorite. There is no favorite to win a sectional. There are teams that you could name that you think might have an opportunity to win their sectional, but nobody, to me at least, and I got the feeling this is pretty standard across the eight schools in Clark and Floyd counties that have football, there is no front runner that's going to be, oh, they're going to be a top 10 team, or, oh, they're definitely a sectional favorite, or, oh, they could make a deep run into the tournament. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened, but There isn't anybody, at least on paper right now, before the first game or the first couple weeks have been played, that you can say that about. When the rankings came out yesterday, I was really curious from 6A to 5 to 1A. These are the Indiana Football Coaches Association preseason rankings, which, again, are voted on by the coaches. In 6A, nobody ranked in the top 10 that's in our immediate area. Really, you got to go to Columbus North probably to find actually, Columbus East and Columbus North both either ranked or received votes to find the most local schools that were ranked in 6A. And again, we don't really have a 6A team with Jeffersonville going down to 5A. But in 5A, really no one closer than maybe Bloomington South or Castle that are ranked in the top 10. Evansville Harrison got a few votes as well in that. In Class 4A, Evansville Central's up there at number 2. But really, outside of that, Evansville Wrights is 10th. A few Evansville schools receive votes in 4A. Nobody local anywhere close to Clark and Floyd counties in that class. Same goes for 3A. The most local-ranked 3A team is Brownstown at number 6. Lawrenceburg got some votes, but again, they are really not in our immediate area. 2A, let's see, Evansville Modern Day, maybe the most local school, which is a couple hours away, ranked in the top 10. No local programs receive votes even in 2A. In Class A, you've got a fairly local team, West Washington, not far out of the Clark and Floyd County range. They are number 9 in Class A. No other local teams in Class A getting votes or getting ranked at this point. So that kind of backs up what I'm saying, that, you know, it's a fun season. There are a lot of great storylines to follow, but there's nobody that's getting the attention of coaches or voters across the state right now. I don't expect anybody to be ranked either outside of West Washington when the Associated Press preseason poll comes out. But there is a lot of parity. Parity can be fun. Parity can create some really unknown matchups and some really good competitive results, we hope, as well. So we'll see who is going to be the team or the player or the school that takes some steps forward and maybe works through the season to get themselves in the top 10 of their respective class, or maybe builds by midseason to take claim as the favorite in their respective sectional. Because right now, if you were going to go through all the local schools and what sectional they played in, you know, again, could you see Floyd Central winning a sectional in 5A? Yes. But that's a tough sectional. Jeffersonville, New Albany, Floyd, and Bedford in that local 5A sectional. Now, that is going to be a lot of fun. Could a local team come out of that? Absolutely. But could Bedford come out of it as well? For sure. So, again, no knowns when it comes to that kind of stuff, which I think is going to make the upcoming high school football season really fun to follow. One other headline to mention, Jordan Geronimo, another player of real interest for this IU basketball team as his recruiting picks up. He's got a visit set to IU later this month and also some other Division I programs as well. 6'5" forward, and he plays for an AAU program up east called the Mass Rivals, which I believe play on the Adidas circuit. And really, I was reading a couple different stories about him from over the summer. He really has truly went from basically an unknown player to a guy that's getting some high major Division I scholarship offers. Jeff Rabjohns, when he joined us a couple weeks ago, touched on this. But Geronimo, really, and I was the story I read on 247 Sports, he thought he might play Division II or III basketball. He was just wanting to play in college, and you hear that all the time. I don't care where I go. I just want to keep playing the sport, the game that I love. And now all of a sudden he's got the interest of some big schools: Indiana, Iowa, Virginia Tech, Texas A&M, VCU, Yale, Penn State, Boston College, Providence. That's a number of the Division I schools that have offered him a scholarship or have really been showing serious interest. And again, he's got a number of official visits set coming up in addition to IU as well. So interesting, a guy that really has took the summer basketball scene by storm. And Indiana seems to be right there as far as his recruitment goes. We'll be talking about him more later today with Mike Pegram when he joins us on the program. That's the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Coming up next, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll have Greg after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for All the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. That means Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg is with us every Tuesday on the program. Greg, great to catch up today. NBA and Boston Celtics released their schedule for the 2019-2020 season. I was going over some of the highlighted dates when Romeo and the Celtics and crew will be playing in Indianapolis at Bankers Life Fieldhouse against the Pacers, and I can already see a steady stream of Romeo and New Albany fans making their way to Indianapolis to watch both of those games, one in, I think, early to mid-December, one in early to mid-March.
Yeah, but they better get their tickets fast, right? I mean, that's going to go, right? Those tickets are going to go. IU fans, I don't know about IU fans, some of them, but anyway, that's going to be a hot ticket. That will be, you know, when Golden State comes to town, that sells out. When LeBron comes to town, that sells out. And I think when Zion comes to town, it's going to sell out. But Romeo is probably second or third on that list of hard tickets to get. So, yeah, if you can buy tickets like today, if you can go online and get them today, you better get them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Greg, you know, I mentioned this in the first segment today, you know, mentioning the dates and the schedule and that sort of thing. But you talk about two different dates and two different parts of the season. My, how things could change for the better, and then you kind of swallow hard when you say this, or my, how things could not work out between that December 11th matchup and the March 10th appearance in Indianapolis with all the fans wanting to be there for a homecoming for Romeo. There's so much that can change so quickly in professional sports and for a specific player, especially a rookie, and he will be competing and battling for playing time and probably in that December visit, still trying to for sure find his role and way to contribute and have a solid part to the team, a solid role on the team. And then by the end of March, or I should say when March gets here and they make that return trip, that's a lot of games, that's a lot of time, and that's a lot of ways that that could really turn into a great rookie season for Romeo Langford. Or again, if it doesn't get off the way that we all hope, you know, does he play some G League basketball? Does he have more of a reserve-only role for this team? You just don't know. And will some people up close and personal may get to see the story of Romeo's Langford Rookie of the Year if they line up tickets to both of those opportunities to see him play in Indy?
Yeah, Romeo's got a unique path in that he's, you know, one of the few rookies that teams wanted to see in summer league that couldn't go because of an injury, and it's an injury on his shooting hand. So his rookie trajectory won't be usual, I suspect. I suspect he's going to start slower than most. And I realize there's several months away, but still, he hasn't played yet. So I suspect that the second version of Romeo will be better than the first, and which would actually could help him, if I'm right about this, in that, you know, that rookie wall is kind of a real thing. And I'm not sure mentally he's going to hit that rookie wall they all hit, but physically maybe not, because physically he might not get worn out as much, because I don't think he's going to play as much early as he's going to play late.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us on Tuesdays, always with us on Tuesdays, thanks to Coffee Crossing. We talked with you last week about a couple columns that you have forthcoming. I think your Nick Westbrook story that we talked some about last week, and of course his role on this IU football, it's out today. And then Rondell Moore, local star from New Albany that played high school football his final 2 years at Trinity. I was just amazed, and it's interesting what we bring up, Greg, when we talk about, because some things that I don't even expect to be a big deal, or that people maybe even think of as something they'll take away or remember from our 10 or 15 minute chat every Tuesday. You just never know what people are going to bring up, but I've had more people comment to me on you mentioning Rondell Moore and the fact that Purdue has limited him to just one day of media availability each week, which the last Purdue player, you told us, Drew Brees, that had to kind of be shielded and guarded a little bit from the media covering the Purdue football program. And I think your Rondell story is coming, your column is coming next week on him. But, boy, a lot of interest and feedback on that last week. Fans are really intrigued by that, and that tells you what type of freshman year Rondell had and what he could be projected to do for this season if they're having to limit his availability.
Yeah, it tells you how hot he is for sure. And he is hot. And I'm not a draft guru, and I could be so wrong about this, but I suspect he's a first-round draft pick in 2 years. So he's a big deal. But it also goes to how Rondell views himself and how he doesn't view himself. And he doesn't enjoy talking about himself. He doesn't like it. And I think that's great. I love it when someone that good would rather not glorify himself. Right? It's so rare. And I remember when after they beat IU in football last year, and we're talking to Rondell afterwards, and he's talking about, because when Brohm was deciding between Louisville and Purdue, and there was nothing official, but we all knew he's got to decide between Purdue and Louisville. And Rondell was asked about that, and Rondell at one point said, my goal is, our goal is to compete for the Big Ten Championship here, or something like that. And he said it in about five words and then just stopped talking. And everybody was waiting for more, tell us you're kidding, or expound on that to kind of back away from that a little bit, soften that a little bit, because what you just said sounds like something that a great player at Ohio State would say, but not at Purdue. But he said it and then just stopped talking and looked around like, what? And that's kind of who he is also. He's a man of very few words, at least with the media. I'm sure he's gregarious with his buddies, but he just soon not say a whole lot. And Purdue is honoring that, A, but also, B, protecting him because the media does this. We find some cool little, not little, but we find some cool angle, and Purdue having that guy is a cool angle. Now, maybe in about 3 years, it won't be that cute of a deal that look who Purdue has, because Purdue might get these guys all the time. But right now, it's a big deal they got Rondell Moore. And so the media will want to come in and, well, I just want 5 minutes of his time. Well, I just want 10 minutes of his time. All I'm asking for is, you and every other idiot's asking for that. So back off.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Also, by the way, Highway 403 in Sellersburg, it is now reopened. So you can easily access the new Coffee Crossing location in Sellersburg. Greg, I know you guys, and I say you guys as in the Star Sports team, have been all over the Colts right now with the NFL season fastly approaching and some not good news for the Colts. We don't talk a ton about them on the program, but this one's hard not to talk about.
Yeah, Jim Irsay, the truth always comes out of his mouth. The developments always come out of his mouth because he just can't help himself, and God love him for that. He went on Sirius Radio, I believe it was, last night and said that Andrew Luck has a little bone issue he's dealing with, in addition to, and I'm sure connected to, the calf strain. And we've all been wondering, why is Andrew Luck, he got the calf strain that we know about in April, so it's been at least four months. Why, calf strains don't take this long. Certainly they don't take this long if you haven't been doing anything on them, and with the exception of like a one-week camp, he hasn't done anything. He's been resting and rehabbing. It just shouldn't take this long. What's going on? And now all of a sudden we find out, it is more than the calf strain. And we don't know yet what that means. And Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, will be talking to the media later today on a conference call. At least that's what Ballard told me. Because I texted him and said, listen, Chris, I'm not attacking anybody, but I don't understand what's going on with Andrew Luck. I don't understand why we're hearing about his bone now. I don't know what to say, but I need to have an opinion on this. Can you help me? And he said, he goes, those are all fair points, and we're going to have a conference call later today. So we'll find out more today if this is a big deal, or the same place we've been, which is kind of a big deal, but we're not really sure.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, the segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to close with a topic that's very familiar with you and I. In fact, we just spoke about it in advance of we knew this decision was coming. But Anthony Leal chooses Indiana, so another key in-state player. Not on the level, neither is Galloway, obviously, on the level of Romeo Langford or even of Trace Jackson Davis as far as McDonald's All-American caliber player, although both nationally ranked and both have held lots of a number of high major scholarship offers. It wasn't like Indiana's taking some big chance on two good high school players in Indiana. They're far more than that. But nonetheless, Indiana, again, has perhaps the top two players in the class in its fold as far as verbal commits go. Anthony Leal chooses to stay home, and it really sounds like, based on some of his wording and how he made his announcement, that playing for IU has been a dream of his long before Archie Miller was there, going back to Anthony's days as a little youth, you know, toddler, or not toddler, but bitty ball basketball player in the Bloomington area, that he's always wanted to play for the hometown team, as you can imagine. But once again, whether we're making too much out of it or not, Archie Miller lands a kid in Bloomington, keeps him there, and is on his way to another solid showing, even if Indiana doesn't pick up anyone else, and I'm not sure they will in the 2020 class. He's got really the two coveted players from Indiana in that class, including one in his backyard. And his magic in the state, it just continues to work. He's got all sorts of recruiting momentum within the state lines right now.
You can tell how much of a cinch Anthony Leal was for IU, in that everything I read about Leal and who he picked IU over these schools, and he had offers from these schools, Purdue's never mentioned. Archie went into Lafayette, McCutcheon, and he took Fennessy. He wanted him, and he wasn't afraid. And I'm not saying Painter was afraid at all, but he wasn't afraid of getting told no. Leal was apparently such a lock for IU that Purdue didn't even offer him, and he's, you know, one of the best two players in the state. Interesting that Leal and the neither guy has the wherewithal, the, you know, the name of Romeo and Trace, but those are the top two candidates for Mr. Basketball in our state. I mean, one of them's probably going to, when you have two of them, you have to assume one of them's going to win. And I'm not sure IU's ever had three straight. If they have, it's been 30, 40 years.
I'm trying to think. It's either been forever or not at all. We just talked about this yesterday on the show, and I can't even remember. But
yeah, it's been forever or not at all. I know that, right. I know that much too. So that is a big deal in the state. Now, thing I'll say about Leal, I think I've been in a gym with him once. It was maybe 2 years ago, and however good he looked as a sophomore, he didn't look so good that I even knew who he was. But I'm, you know, again, he was a sophomore, and that's not what I do. I don't know. But I read his quotes after he signed or after he committed. And yes, the dream come true and all that, but I was taken aback at this kid's confidence level. I mean, he was, you know how NBA players and the stars, and I don't like it, but they're not just leaders. They use the word, well, as the leader of this team, you know, I don't know how many times LeBron has to say, well, as the leader, I've got, like, you don't have to tell us that. All right, LeBron, you know, I mean, like, I don't have to say, as the sports columnist, the star, like, yeah, you don't have to, just, you have a job, just do your job. Well, Leo's got that confidence because he was talking about, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be a leader, and as a leader, and it's up to me to set a tone, and like, you haven't even played your senior year of high school yet. You're already the leader of IU when you get there. So just, you know, keep file that away as, you know, what kind of kid is this? He's a kid dripping with confidence. And, you know, he hadn't talked a huge game. He hasn't said he's going to score 30 or something. But when you kind of anoint yourself as a leader of a team that you haven't even shown up at yet, you're setting yourself up. So let's see some follow through.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Each week, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather has changed, and of course we're dead in the middle of summer hot, you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice as well. Greg, thank you for the chat. Always great to catch up, and we'll look forward to next Tuesday.
Well, I'm glad the Sellersburg location is accessible now, because I was seriously about getting a helicopter. I was going to rent one, but we can drop in for on the road now. So
right.
Thanks,
Greg. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll head to a commercial break. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is next. We're going to talk Jordan Geronimo, kind of a hot name right now, with Leal and Galloway in the fold. Jordan Geronimo has an official visit set for later this month, and we want to learn a lot more about him. We'll do that next with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. We'll talk some other recruiting stuff, and Mike joins us live from football practice again as well. So you know that football will come up here coming up with Mike in the next segment. We'll be back with more. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com with me here on Tuesdays as usual. And Mike joins us on this Tuesday from an IU football practice in Bloomington. But Mike, I got to start with basketball and some basketball recruiting stuff today. Now that Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal are officially in the fold as verbal commits to this IU basketball program, the question is, where does Indiana turn to next? And there's really not another in-state prospect that necessarily stands out as a big target for Indiana at this point, but there are a couple out-of-state guys. Matt Cross has been a name that we've spoke about, you and Jeff, many times on this program, that he could maybe be the next guy ready to make a college decision, and Indiana seems to have a strong place with him as he works his way through the recruiting process. But another name that has been even hotter right now, and it's primarily because of how good he was in July, he went from being a player that was beginning to be on the radar of some Division I programs to a guy that got all sorts of offers and interest and has now an official visit set to IU coming up later this month. Jordan Geronimo set to make a visit to Indiana. If nothing else, Mike, I love the name. It's a great name. It would be a great name to have around for a few years. But nonetheless, he's exploded on the scene. A guy that I read a story Jeff wrote that really just wanted to play college hoops, was willing to play D2, D3, thought he might be that level of a player. And now all of a sudden, sitting here in August, he's got some official visits set to high major Division I programs, including Indiana.
Yeah, kind of a sleeper prospect that emerged in July, though I do remember watching him play in mid-April in Dallas. And he kind of stood out a little bit. I think he makes sense because he's more of an explosive athlete wing. It might complement the other two guys that are in the fold. So I think this is really one to watch because Indiana is maybe the most prestigious program that has reached out to him here of late, and that will bode well for their chances.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Our guest, Mike, is at IU football practice today as we speak. We'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. A little bit more on Geronimo. You kind of briefly described his position and a few things in talking about him, but what has college coaches all of a sudden paying him a lot more attention and offering scholarships and wanting to set up official visits with Geronimo?
Well, like you mentioned, his July play showed that he was getting better than what we saw in the spring. Mass Rivals, he plays for it's a very high-profile AAU team that's produced a number of NBA players, including Noah Vonleh, who played for Indiana. So college has got a chance that he can play a lot in July, and he just finally convinced him. And schools have, kind of narrowed their focus and dropped off some guys, and they kind of are always intrigued by someone who's got a lot of upside improvement ahead of him, maybe because he's a little bit raw. And Geronimo kind of fits that category. He'll probably be got to improve quite a bit from his first day of arrival on a campus. You need a raw athlete like that to develop, and he fits that bill.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Do you get the sense that Geronimo is, because of this late entrance, or I guess I should say new interest, that comes fairly late in his recruiting process? I mean, he is a kid that is entering his senior year right now. With lots of new interest, with some visits set up, you think he's trying to work through to a decision fairly soon? Or is this a guy that is going to take all this in, needs to explore the opportunities that he has as he now is coming onto the scene and could maybe play this out through his senior year a bit to see who else might be interested in him?
I think he might play it out a little bit, but not, I don't know if it goes through his senior year. But the impression is he wouldn't be a guy who was a candidate to commit to Indiana soon after his visit at the end of the month. But Indiana might end up being the best school that's recruiting him, and he might go through a couple more visits and that it's still end of August to the November signing period is quite a bit of time. So I would suspect that'd be enough time for him to make a decision before November. One thing that's interesting here though, he having guys serious puts a little bit of a little bit of pressure on Matt Cross to make a decision. Maybe he's leaning Indiana, but wants to hold off as much as long as he can. But if there's another guy with serious interest, that could force him into making a decision now.
And also from a recruiting side, we've talked about Geronimo. Obviously, Matt Cross is someone that is very big in the picture right now. But from an in-state perspective, with Galloway and Leal set as commits now, there really is no one else still on the board that Indiana, even coming in late to fill a spot, would be after. Is that correct?
As far as the state of Indiana?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's really nobody. I think the player from Evansville that committed to Houston might have been a possibility down the road, but he's gone ahead and made his decision. And I think Nigel Pack would have been another guy like that, but he committed early. So the guys that I think could have been more seriously on the NIU radar at this time these couple first commitments have already gone and made decisions. So, and I don't know if there's anybody else with enough raw talent out there that can play themselves into Indiana interest. So I think this will be it as far as the state.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike is at football practice today. Obviously, the college football season drawing closer. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Does Indiana, and do you feel Indiana has as many open practices maybe as for media as anybody out there, and maybe as liberal with open practices as anyone out there? It seems when I hear about Louisville and everything being shut down with the new coach, Coach Satterfield, the media used to be there are a number of practices. You just don't see that anymore. It doesn't dominate the news and that sort of thing like it used to. But is Indiana still one that is pretty liberal in letting media in on a regular basis, it seems?
Yeah, not as much as everybody, or more than everybody. But like, I think tomorrow's practice is completely closed. And Thursday's, I think, is closed, and they're just allowing Coach Allen to speak after it. But there are several practices over the next couple of weeks that are open to the media. We are here through the entirety of this practice for the most part. We do have rules on. We can't shoot video after a certain session, shoot photos of a certain session, stuff that might give away formations and play calling kind of tendencies. But, it's fairly open, and I think Indiana, welcomes publicity because of not having the success of some programs. So that might be part of it.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. Mike, thanks for checking in from football practice and talking a little hoops with us and recruiting today, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. We'll let him get back to covering football practice. Obviously, you can read his coverage on the Peaks.com website. And we'll have Jeff Rabjohns from Peaks.com, as we normally do Wednesday on our program tomorrow. So stay with us in the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow for that. Okay, to wrap things up today, as we've had some free time at the end of a couple shows recently, and we'll do this between now and the first Friday of high school football coming up when our full coverage of football begins. We've been replaying some of our interviews with coaches from our Zaxby's program 2019 High School Football Media Day that took place last Thursday at the Zaxby's in Jeffersonville. So last week we were able to replay Isaac Parker, the new Jeffersonville coach. We're going to try to work in as many of the programs of the eight local schools as we can here in the Hoosier Report as well. Today we have James Bragg. He's the second-year coach at Floyd Central. And, of course, the Highlanders, from a football side of things, they open up the season every year with a tough opponent. They play at Louisville Male, who is outside of Trinity and St. X, one of the bigger programs in Louisville and one of the more successful programs in Louisville. Definitely, probably, you could say, the most successful public school program in Louisville. So we'll play that interview back with Coach Bragg about the Highlanders for the upcoming season and what things look like for his Floyd Central team, who I really feel like could end up being a strong contender once we get into the middle part of the season and differentiate some things in that 5A sectional, which is going to be really good. And I talked to Coach Bragg about that. Floyd Central, New Albany, Jeffersonville, three rivals in the 5A sectional, as well as Bedford North Lawrence, who is a very familiar team to all three of those schools because they're also in the Hoosier Hills Conference. So that is a really interesting sectional. Could, depending on pairings, really any way the pairings go, could really be for some good rivalry games and postseason and just some great competitive games. And I know Floyd Central has their sights set on a sectional championship. So here's Coach Bragg from 2019 High School Football Media Day. This is from last week at Zaxby's talking about the Highlanders.
Is from Clark and Floyd counties, and we've still got some schools to go. Floyd Central up right now. James Bragg in his second year. He's the head coach of the Highlanders. He led Floyd Central to a 5-5 campaign in his opening game, and or opening season, I should say. And coach, you enter things again for this Floyd Central team with another tough opening game. Once again, you guys will start with Louisville Mail. That's a road game for your club this year. And I guess, and this is something that we talk about probably with Floyd Central every year, coaches before you, you find out right out of the gate what your Highlander team is made of when you take on a team the caliber of Mail High School.
Yeah, Mail is above and beyond a very good football program in general. You know, they're going to defending 6A state champs. We have to go there this year. They got a lot coming back. We will find out a lot about our football team, not just only X's and O's on the field knowledge, but we'll find out toughness because we know those boys are going to hit us for 48 minutes straight. It's going to be a tough game the entire night, and you know they'll be excited. You know, it's the first time back on the field for them since last December, I believe, is when Kentucky plays the state championship game. So they'll be really fired up for us to come to town.
Coach, who do you have coming back this year that you're going to rely on both sides of the ball?
We actually have quite a bit coming back. You know, last year we were pretty young in the skill positions and even linemen. You know, for us, we've always talked all offseason, and our kids know it. Our heart and soul on our defense right now is our secondary. We bring back three of the four starters coming back. Inside at linebackers, we bring back J.D. McKay, a gentleman I hope you hear from later tonight. He comes back as a two-year starter there. And defensive line, we have it's just like always – Floyd Central, we have senior dominant defensive line that always performs pretty well. This year we bring back one, Seth Cook, but we got to find those other three role players. And it seems like at Floyd, there's always a defensive lineman that step up and get the job done. Offensively, we bring back everybody on all of our skill positions. We bring back a quarterback, Tristan Polk, receivers in Trace Willman, Landon DeWeese, and Calvin Brown, of course, comes back for us. J.D. McKay comes back on the offensive side of the ball at tight end, fullback for us, and then we got Winkers Wright still in the backfield. Up front, you know, we bring back two linemen in Brenton Rogers and Trent Hyatt, and we got to find three more. So, but really, we bring back quite a bit. It's one of those things that we're excited about as a team because those kids have stepped on the field and played against Mayo, have played against East, have played against New Albany, been out there for Bedford, North Lawrence, you know, so – You know, it always goes back to experience, especially in high school football. And those kids have been out there for so many more plays than maybe some other seniors for the first time, especially early in the year. That gives us a lot of opportunities to do stuff different, a little bit more complex, but also has a confidence on the field that is huge for our football team.
Coach Bragg of Floyd Central joining us. We're talking Highlander football here at 2019 High School Football Media Day at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville. I know, and you'll have to kind of give some of the details here, but when we spoke with you last time, a year ago, for this very program, hadn't you just been hired? Wasn't it still even in the process maybe of just being official as the head coach?
Yeah, it was really – I think I might have been on the job for like maybe a month
okay.
at the most.
Oh, it had
you know?
Been a little more
so,
time.
So, yeah, we had just – but it was one of those things where it was hard, not just for me, but also for the players because I was an assistant – and then moved up to the head role. So all of a sudden that whole kind of thing changed. You know, the demeanor of how I react and with the players changed, how they looked at me changed differently. So it was definitely hard to iron those out for year one. Year two, I think we're much better understanding the roles of, you know, there's Coach Bragg in PE class now, but then there's Coach Bragg on the football field.
Sure,
you know, so.
Sure. I guess the intent of my question, no matter what, whether it was a month or even a day, you have to feel a lot more structured, organized, prepared in having the first season under your belt, sitting here now having been with your team as the head coach the entire off season, and it's got to be really a completely different feeling for you as the head coach as you enter year two, just because you've been through this before. You went from assistant to head coach, and now it's the second year for you to be the ultimate boss of this program.
Absolutely. And one of the – actually, and something I think gets left out and people forget about was, you know, for us in the off season, we had the same staff that came back. You know, that's really, to me, sometimes they're odd for a high school program to bring back all of your assistant coaches for a second year. And that camaraderie from the coaching staff has been huge. But you see that transfer on the field. You know, Coach Polk calls our defense for us. Jamie Polk's his name, excuse me. You know, but we're right on the same wavelengths as last year. It was kind of, you know, there was more, I won't say, we were just a little bit off. You know, we finally got everybody's on the bus. We're all moving forward. There's no more, not as many stops. You know, we're just keep on cruising down the road now. So it's awesome.
Coach, last sectional for Floyd Central, 2009, I think. But you have a lot of people back. You probably have the most players back, the most skill people back of anybody in that four-team sectional this year.
Yes, we. I hear that a lot. You know, I hear that a lot, and it's funny because you hit it on the head, though. I think what was the date the last time?
2009, I think, is what it said.
2009 was our last one, and before that, I think it was back in the '70s. So, Floyd Central football in 52 years now has only won two sectionals. So, I know it's funny how everybody's like, "Oh, you're going to win one. You're going to win one." It's a lot harder than you think to win a sectional. I mean, we're talking about something that's still 13 weeks away. And then when you look at our sectional, I mean, yeah, there's only four teams. But all four teams we play in the regular season. All four teams know each other pretty well. All four teams have rivalries. And I can tell you this right now, personally, and I talk to our kids about this, I don't want to go on the road and play any of those teams, week one or week two, you know, in that sectional. So, you know, we make sure our kids understand that it's not a cakewalk. Nothing's given to you. You've got to earn every one of those. And we take it one game at a time. So, you know, our kids are excited. They're excited about the sectional being a little different this year. But as a coaching standpoint, and for them, we say, hey, you have Mail first, then we got Providence. That's our first two big hurdles. And then we move on from there and see where we're at when October hits and see if we can regroup and maybe hopefully bring one of those trophies home to Floyd Central again.
Coach. And again, that's James Bragg, second-year coach at Floyd Central. That's a replay of our quick segment with him at 2019 High School Football Media Day out at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville from last week. You can find that whole interview, and including some Floyd Central players with Coach Bragg, as well as interviews with the eight coaches in the area and most of the top players. Some of the big names you're going to hear this year, we ask each coach to bring a couple players with them. So that full podcast is available on our social media and also on SoundCloud if you point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 26 seconds of high school football media day from last week that you can find out all you want to know, probably and more, about the upcoming 2019 high school football season here in Clark and Floyd counties. That's going to wrap things up for Tuesday. Jeff Rabjohns is with us tomorrow, and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.